Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Today I am with a very important person, someone I've known for a while since the beginning of COVID.
Correct.
And we worked together as part of a collaborative here that the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation started.
Yes.
So I'm with Martha Olvera.
Yes.
Who's the Assistant Director of Operations with Galilee Center. Welcome, Martha.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm happy that you're here. So for the listeners who are not familiar with Galilee Center, tell us a little bit about it, when it started and what you do.
Wonderful. My name, as you stated, Martha Olvera. I'm the Assistant Director of Operations. I've been with the Galilee Center for 11 years. However, Galilee Center was founded in 2010, so we just had our 15-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we work out of the Eastern Coachella Valley, and we first started in Thermal in 2010, and within 3 years, we moved into the facility that we're in now in Mecca, California.
Okay. So Is there a religious or faith affiliation with the Galilee Center?
Yes. Our founders are part of the San Bernardino Diocese. However, our organization is faith-based, but we do not discriminate against anybody. We are open to the public, to our community. That's what we're there for.
Wonderful. Tell me a little bit about your mission, what the Galilee Center does.
The Galilee Center's mission is to assist the underprivileged and disadvantaged in the Eastern Coachella Valley. And they really work with a lot of the farm workers in that area, including the migrant farm workers. And they provide a lot of different basic needs like clothing, food, rental assistance, utility assistance for those that are disadvantaged.
Right. So I'm familiar with some of your programs. You talked about the food distribution, even the diaper distribution.
Yes.
So really basic needs for families.
Yes.
Are you seeing an increase in need at this time? We're living in economically challenging times. So are
yes.
you seeing that reflected at Galilee Center?
Most definitely. Unfortunately, one of our programs, we had an emergency shelter. The funding ended. So it did change the different type of services that we were doing for those that were coming to the emergency shelter. However, it ended up being a plus for us in a sense because we're still able to help out the community with all the different programs that we have, which include the food, senior services also. We give out protein shakes and adult diapers on a monthly basis to them, as well as the children 0 to 3, we give infant services, formula and diapers once a month. And this is a way for families to be able to focus on paying their rent if they're able to. These are just some of the necessities that they have. And since most of them are seasonal workers and very low income, it's really important for them to have those basic needs and not have to worry how they're going to provide for their family.
Is there a minimum income requirement that you need to meet in order to apply?
Yes, we go based on the county's low income graph. And so that everyone makes sure that we are helping out those that we indicate, those that are in need.
Okay.
And we really stick to that. There are emergencies where, unfortunately, there's a death in the family and they have a lot of money they have to spend. Most of these community members that come to assist us, that we assist with, don't have those fundings, don't have those savings. And if they don't meet the low minimum, there must be an emergency that they've spent a lot of money that they couldn't cover their rent or their utilities or needing clothing vouchers and they're coming for food. We're not as strict with the low income because nobody knows what everybody's situation is, and that's one thing that our founders really wanted to make sure that they don't have to worry about having a food to eat a meal or to serve to their children. They want to make sure that our community has the basic needs.
So which of your programs or services is drawing the most people? What's the most
Right
popular.
Now, we have anywhere between 450 to 500 families weekly receiving food baskets at the Galilee Center. Yes, unfortunately, with new funding changes and a lot of people are not working or a lot of jobs that they normally would be doing, they can't do. They have been coming to us for everything and our numbers have been growing.
Martha, I think I know what you mean, but when you say jobs that they cannot do, what are you referring to?
Unfortunately, as we know, there's been ICE or Border Patrol coming around, and a lot of people normally do side jobs. They sell fruit on the side, or they have their trucks, their food trucks, or even mobile wash, car washes. They're not able to do these particular jobs to be able to help them out with extra supplemental income that's coming in. And that puts a toll on them. One of the things that one of the founders had just told me, and it really captured me, is she says that we really don't want to focus on that fear. And we want to make sure that we focus on the need and that our community can rely on us for that need.
Because your organization, you're not so much interested in someone's legal status.
Correct.
You just want to help people who are in need.
Yes. Yes, okay. Correct. There are some programs that we run that there is legal status that we have to abide by, but our founders are about the people.
Right.
They're not here for that. They're here to make sure that they're not here to judge that. Why this human being is here at our facility? What do they need? How can we help them? And that's what we're here for.
If you can talk about this, how has the Galilee Center changed the way that it conducts its business because of this fear around ICE?
We actually started a new program to help out all these families in need. We opened up a new office of case management so that they can get all these different types of services, which our director of the emergency services indicates this is wraparound services that we're giving them now, where we meet with the clients now and give them the opportunity to see what is it that you're needing. We want them to be able to sustain on their own, and we're giving them the tools now instead of just, here's a box of food. We'll see you next week if you need it, if you don't need it. What we're doing more is building a relationship with our community, making sure that they have all the tools. If they don't, we try to find other resources. If we can't provide it, we find resources where we can, where they've been working with. One of the resources we've started doing a couple years ago is being a third party for enrolling for Medi-Cal or food stamps or cash aid. Because sometimes they don't know where to go. And now our community knows that we're doing these services, so they come to us and we help them out. And then we assign a caseworker to them where they can say, okay, do you need help with rent? How are your utility bills? Are your children going to school? If they're not enrolled, do they need vaccination shots? Do we need to get them? What do we need to get them to get moving and staying stable in our community? And that's what we're there.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation has been a partner with Galilee and our COVID-19 response.
Yes.
Talk about some of the other partnerships you have in the community. When you talk about helping people who may be facing immigration challenges, I know TODEC does a lot in the Eastern Valley.
Yeah.
Do you have a partnership with them or other organizations?
We do. If there is an immigration need, we not only with TODEC, but we have immigration lawyers that we refer them out to, very important. And it depends on what immigration status they are and what need they are, because there's different, I didn't realize this until 6 years ago, how many immigration department lawyers that are very specific to what the immigrant needs, because there's those that are just, we were normally working with that needed work permits. Some of them are here and want to get more of a resident status. And then we've had the asylum seeking program, which is a completely different need than most of our immigration lawyers do out here. So that was something new that we had to evolve with.
That's interesting. I didn't know that either. So there's specialties within immigration law.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about some of the other programs or things that you're working on.
We actually partnered recently with Molina. They refer us clients that are needing community support. And those clients come to us and they're throughout the county of Riverside. And we assist them in that area. It's not just Coachella Valley, but all the way to Blythe, all the way to Riverside. And we assist them as well if they're needing rental assistance. They do housing navigation. They also work with landlords. We build relationships with them and their tenants so that they understand what the rules are of being a tenant and making sure that they follow those rules so that they can keep their housing, which is really important. Some of our clients are new to the country and don't understand all the laws. So that's an education for them. We try to educate them on how to be a good neighbor, how to be a good tenant, how to be a good civilian, and what you need to do to make sure that you come into this country and you're able to survive here. That's what they're really going to be doing.
Going back to the very basic needs of food and that rental assistance and that sort of thing, you talked about the challenges. Is Galilee Center, are you in a position to actually meet the need right now? 500 families is a lot every day.
Right. I think one of the most amazing things about the Coachella Valley is it supports the entire community. If there is a neighbor that is in need here in the Coachella Valley, there are more than 100 nonprofit organizations. And if you can't get the help with one, you can partner with another one, and we've done that many a times, refer them out as we've had mobile clinics, different mobile clinics, including county, come to our facilities to give services that are needed for them. So I think that's really important. Right now, are we meeting it? Yes. Are we going to be able to continue it? If we have the continued support, if we have the donors that continue to donate on a monthly basis. We actually have a really inspiring young lady, and her first name is Lila, and we just did a newsletter on her. And she came to the Galilee Center on her junior year from high school, motivated to want to help the community. And when she got the tour, she was just like, how can I help? And her first fundraiser, she decided to collect clothing, especially for young teenagers, because that's the area that is very gray for people. They don't give a lot of donations for teenagers. So she did a clothing drive for teenagers so that they had some clothing to choose from. And she ended up, I think it was like 3 or 4 large bins, I think as tall as I am, full of clothing that she did at her school. And she said, okay, this is my first one. I'm ready for my second one. We're like, okay, what would you like to do? She said, I want to feed 100 families for a year. I said, really? I said, that's a big goal. She goes, yes, but I can do it. I know I can do it. If I could do this, I can do that. And she initially had said, I'm going to try to raise $50,000 my senior year. And I said, this is a lot. You're going to be going to school. And she said, yes, I think I can do it. I want to do it. Let me try it. And we said, okay. So she made the commitment and she decided to change her goal to 100,000. And since she started, she has raised now over $90,000. She's like right there at 100,000. Like we can see the finish line for her. And so it's really exciting that she was like, I can do this. I know this. And she's a senior in high school. And how do you not get motivated for that, knowing that a young person has come out here going to school, does her activities, and is fundraising for Galilee so that our families can get fed?
That is incredible.
Right?
We should have her on the podcast.
You should. I will let her know. We will have her on if you'd like.
So how did she do it? Just a lot of different types of events or?
She did videos. She would go to events and talk to people. Her dad supports her 100%. So her dad would give her, I believe, ideas as well and just go, okay, try this or try that. But she's a really smart cookie. So
she sounds like it. And her name is Lila, right?
Lila, yes. So, and she's actually on our webpage and we have her story on there.
Fantastic. Yes. So for all of our listeners who may be inspired by Lila, how do they find out how to support Galilee Center?
If you go onto our website for donations, you actually can click on Lila's story and there's a link to support her project. And it's called Project Pantry. And she is fully in charge of it. And it's wonderful.
Yes. That is wonderful.
Yeah. Our website address is www.galileecenter.org.
That's awesome. Martha, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I so enjoy talking with you.
Thank you.
Be well, everyone. Remember, you can enjoy this podcast every week by subscribing to Audible, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.com. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe.